15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
WorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve the entire tri-state area 7 days a week, and our Wednesday broadcast from 11 a.m. to 12 noon is devoted to American Workers Radio. As always, go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. And of course, if they live at a distance, invite them to tune in on the internet simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link, which is on the left side of the page. Also, we will send out all of our listeners a link of today's broadcast shortly after the program, within an hour or so. And we ask that when you get that email, that you send it out to your family members and friends, because we're getting an enormous amount of people that are following our ideas, adding their own ideas, and really helping to change things here in the USA. I first would like to say thank you to our panel members, and of course, wish them a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as we get started today. And I want to acknowledge them, and they are Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. And Mark, I'm sitting here with another member of the panel, and you'll know exactly who that is, who man who loves to travel. And we are looking at your gift. So I want to say thank you for the beautiful gift that you send us. It is greatly appreciated, and hopefully 2017 is going to be an unbelievable year. And I'd like to acknowledge Larkin Connolly, who, as you know, pops up everywhere. No matter where you are, be prepared. If I'm walking down Walnut Street and I look up at the restaurant window, it's very possible it could be Larkin Connolly waving down. Today I walked into the studio, and Larkin Connolly followed me shortly thereafter. So, Larkin, welcome back to Philadelphia on a nice chilly day, but a beautiful day.
I had to miss a plane to show up yesterday. I don't know what's happened to me. I think it might be age, but I made the reservation for today and not yesterday. So I decided instead of going to the airport and getting out first thing this morning, I would come and see you guys before Christmas. And I want to thank Mark for a wonderful present. I appreciate it. I, of course, gravitated right to the Pappy's Moonshine Madness. And I'm not exactly sure. The lime didn't help it, but it certainly didn't like quinine either. But I had a couple glasses of it anyway.
And also, I want to say that I want you to all to check out Mark Andel on the internet. Go to his site. I know that many of the people have told me they've gone to his site. They're doing business with him. So thank you. And he will forward your gifts to family and friends in any state that you request. Now, you can check him out on madeinamericastore.com. And also Rich Loges, who's the principal of RJL Technology Integration, is online today, raring and ready to go. And Rich, another time for me to say thank you for your unbelievable participation on our weekly broadcast, where people love it. We get all kinds of stuff in the mail. Henry and I were looking at a particular piece of mail that came in yesterday. It's always people who are very observant. They have an opinion. We love their opinions. I know exactly what you mean when you say you get opinions from people. But believe it or not, Rich, Mark, Larkin, and Henry, those opinions are going more in our direction. So welcome, Rich.
Well, thank you, Michael, and good morning to everyone. And Larkin, please, if you would, don't say anything else that's in the box. I want to be surprised on Christmas.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's all right. I should have said something. I got the package. I texted Mark last night. Thank you, guys. Although I had a feeling there was something alcohol-related, knowing Mark. I just knew there had to be something in there about that. So that's not a big shock.
It's antifreeze.
You know, Michael, I have to just start with a point based on what you just said regarding there's really and I'm very excited and happy about this. There is a renewed, overt feeling of American patriotism and pro-sovereignty. This past weekend, I volunteered at a local cemetery with an organization called Wreaths Across America, where we lay Christmas wreaths at the gravesites of fallen veterans. And the gentleman whom I laid the wreath at, his name was Richard Hannon. He was an Ohio native originally and then retired and spent the end of his years in Florida, World War II veteran. And, you know, I thought about something, guys, that I just want to share this with you and the listeners. You know, here's a gentleman whom none of us knew. But yet we are still connected and linked to him in some way from the generation that he served in and where he came from. And I really have to give thanks to Wreaths Across America for giving me the honor to participate in this event. I had a lot of eye-opening conversations with active and retired veterans. And I'll tell you guys, I met a whole bunch of different troops. I met combat vets. I met nurses from World War II. You know, the ladies of World War II aren't perhaps always as heralded and recognized, but they were recognized at this event. And, you know, it got me thinking about something that, thankfully, we don't have to worry about, but I just think it's important to make this note. I want you guys to think about what our conversations would be like right now had Hillary Clinton got elected president. And I got a feeling that the stuff that we'd be saying, like, in the last few weeks, and, Michael, what you're talking about now, what we're going to talk about in the new year, I've got a feeling it would be just a bit more not as optimistic had that happened. And that was something that I talked with a lot of the vets about, because these men and women I met, I always said during the election, if you want to get a perspective on politics, on our country, talk to a veteran. You don't have to agree with most or all of it, what the vet says. Get a perspective from a veteran. And when I talked to some of the vets and they told me that they get invited around schools here in Florida, you know, guys, that heartened and encouraged me. And I thought about, you know, the fact that I said last week, elections, they do have consequences. And I hope one of the positive consequences of what's going to happen is that we are going to get back to where we sort of went astray from. And where we went astray was we sort of made it okay to not celebrate our culture and our sovereignty. And I think that's going to start reversing itself. So I just want to share that with everyone. Thanks, Michael.
That's very good. That's well said. And, you know, as I go around everyone, and I want to thank the listeners, I go to many events and I have a chance to talk to people. And as always, I tell you, I always give our flyers out to everybody. So we have our pictures known to people. I'm very cheered up because, you know, people listen to a lot of different radio programs. Some just focus on jazz or rock or news or alt talk. And then there are those that have come into our thinking and say, well, I'll tune them in. And with the internet, we have become a very, very big family from one type of idea. And I want to thank everyone that tells me that they tune in on the internet, those that live at a distance, because they're very important to us. And we don't maybe see each other in our travels, but we're very grateful to you for tuning in. And we plead with you to spread the word so that 2017 will be even a more unbelievable year than before. And it's, by the way, because of the type of supporters that we have on our broadcast, that we're starting to see some real positive change in America. As Larkin mentioned last week on his Christmas wish list, we have to go back to supporting the arts, education in our schools, skills, and things like that. We have to do things to show the importance of livelihoods, American workers, making sure that they have a place to be every day so they can earn a living for themselves and not be dependent upon government or anything else. Yes, Larkin.
Well, I just wanted to throw something out there for discussion today that I saw this morning that really kind of amazed me. But of all the people that of all the people that Donald Trump has appointed to his cabinet and to his big committees, 11 of them are millionaires. 11 millionaires. And, you know, I take a little umbrage with that. Millionaires don't know anything. Millionaires are pretty stupid people. Can you imagine why anybody would chastise somebody for being on a cabinet because they're a millionaire? The loyal opposition here is groping and reaching a new low. The Clintons still have not faced the fact that they've lost the election. By every measure, they lost the election. And they refuse to acknowledge the fact that they won California by 4.6 million votes. 4.6 million popular votes in California. And I think the spread in New York was 3 million. That's 7-8 million people. That's you know, you eliminate that margin, then the contest is entirely different as a popular vote. But the thing is, do we really want California and New York electing our president?
No, I think the system is very good.
No.
And I think that we saw when they did the Electoral College, the ceremonies and everything else this past Monday, the 19th. I think that the founding fathers were wiser than any of us would have believed. When they first signed those documents, many of those states were not even in existence, but they took into consideration that there could be big and small parts of the Union. And boy, I'll tell you, it's been very interesting.
Can I add a point to that? Sorry, Mark has to get in here, but it's been on my mind. And, you know, you gave that wish list last week, Larkin, and I got to thinking that if I could, guys, just for a moment here, and I'm going to shut up for a while today. I've got my own dear Santa that I'd like to just, wherever he is now, I don't know, he's probably somewhere warm, right, Santa? He's probably with the reindeer. He's somewhere warm.
My wife said that he was at the 7-Eleven in Green Cove Springs, Florida. So
you know,
you're right about the warmth.
I thought he was here in Miami just this week. I saw him. I thought I could have swore that he was there. But, you know, Larkin, I've got my own dear Santa. And here's what it is if he's listening. Dear Santa, when I get older, I want to be a Democrat when I get older. Because if I can be a Democrat when I get older, I can fly around the world on private jets and be heralded as an environmental hero. I can talk about fair share while I live on tax-free interest in an inverted Panamanian bank account. And I can also talk about the evils of gentrification while I live in a $5 million brownstone in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. And everyone around me will think that I'm a genius and I'm smart. And I don't have to worry about bills. And I could just change laws in our Constitution because I feel like it. So when I get older, I want to be a Democrat, Michael, when I grow up. So I'm working. That's my new goal in life. So, Santa, if you're listening, please listen to this show today. Don't bring me coal like you always do. Please.
And you know I try to stay apolitical, but I've got to make a remark. I've got to make you feel better about this wish. It doesn't take a lot to be a Democrat.
Well, thanks, Mark. And that makes me feel better because I really got a lot of goals for the new year, and that's at the very top of the list.
Well, then, Rich, you may have to get a voter registration form in your Christmas stocking so that you can begin your walk slowly to the new party that you desire. With time and effort, anything is possible. But we've been joking about this for the last few weeks, and I have to tell you, most of the people that I talk to, already the election is past history. They want to move forward. Democrats, Republicans, independents want to hold the president accountable for what is going to be happening. Most of the people are very pleased to know that they're talking about infrastructure. They're talking about getting more jobs in. He had a business conference with some of the big electronic industries. These are things that we haven't seen in many, many years, not just in 8 years, many, many years. So maybe 3 years ago when I said we need a businessman as a president, we have to give a businessman an opportunity to run, maybe this is what was the end of the wish. But Donald Trump has to be given an opportunity to give it a try, bring billionaire, and I don't care if they're trillionaires, if they bring something to the table and don't cost the taxpayers any money, then that's fine. Then I can say, we need them in the government. You know, about a month ago, a very well-connected person said to me, Michael, I want to tell you something, and it's a compliment to all of you guys on the radio. Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, for helping to keep everything moving the way it should. He said to me, I believe you guys have stoked the flames of change that's been happening in America. The focus on consistency and all has really been very helpful. And I said to him, Curtis, thank you. I like that line, stoking. I think we did a good job stoking. You know, 10 years ago, people felt that it was not appropriate to discuss just how much outsourcing was hurting our world here in the USA. Today, people see the results of what it costs to be silent, which is their jobs, their livelihoods, their houses, their ability to spend and enjoy life. And they waited too long and they want change. So let's give the new president an opportunity, and we'll criticize him as much as we'll criticize the next person.
Exactly. And you know, the thing I like about Trump that they absolutely refuse to acknowledge is he hasn't alienated anybody. He sat down and talked to everybody from not Tupac Shakur, but whoever. Kanye West. And I mean, he's willing to listen to anybody, and he wants inclusion, and he wants to hear what everybody wants, and he wants to sort it out and do the right thing. I just don't think that we're giving him a fair shake. I really don't.
Well, you know, I wanted to say, yesterday we were talking at the House, and something very interesting came up. We were watching a show, and everything that you hear seems to be bad news repeated in the media. It's over and over again. It's like they can't get over it. Instead of them stoking the flames of good ideas, positive ideas that would help America, all you hear is the same rehashing, what was said, the films that were shown from 6 months ago, trying to hold this one accountable for this and that. It all means nothing, because today is what we have to live for. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. We have to live and be best at what we are at today. And hopefully tomorrow, the mystery will come true and our people will be better employed and have more of a future.
I will, and this is Mark's turn to chime in on this one. I will make an exception on your news story, because I saw David Muir on ABC last night or the night before, and he did that story on L.L. Bean, and I just absolutely loved it.
You know, and it's true. And Mark, before we go to you, I have to tell you that I think, Larkin, it's time for the media to set aside a broadcast every day, half an hour, 1 hour, about what's happening in America that's positive. Give ideas. Let people see something good, not only the negativity. We can't focus on bad news all the time. What do you say to that, Mark?
Yeah, I want to say, hello, guys, and Merry Christmas, Mike, Rich, and Larkin, and Henry, and all our listeners. A great time of year to say thank you to friends and family, and boy, do we got a nice team here. But, Mike, it is becoming more popular, and even we've got a president now, President-elect Trump, that will mention Made in America, and I love that already. I've heard it many, many times, probably more than I've heard it over the last years. But so much going on. Rich, that gift, I'll tell you, is 100% Made in America. some fun stuff there. You know, Rich, you mentioned your wreath for Soldier Project, and in my 6 years with the Made in America store, I've heard so many great stories and have so much respect respect more than I ever had for veterans. And them stories, Rich, you'll be like me. When you hear them, you want to tape them, you want to record them, you want to remember them, because there's nobody on earth that loves this country and world more than our soldiers that fought and died for it. And that flag stands for a reason, you know, especially in these holidays, but always we remember them. And just great stuff. Thank you for doing what you did there and contributing. And Larkin, the world news has been awesome. Like you said, Mike, we should hear this all the time, Made in America, because, again, we just had our All-American Christmas event last Saturday. It was awesome. Our first Christmas event at the new store. You guys want to know where Santa and Mrs. Claus were? They were at the store last Saturday. So, Rich, they were. We had a great day. Our community came out. Our customers. It was just a thank you day, and it was a great day just to kind of enjoy the season. Even though my team and family, Jackie and the kids, it's the busiest time for retail right now, Larkin. You know that the best. It's a busy, busy time of year, and but consumers are waking up. I see it. I hear it. It's probably, I feel more alive about Made in America than I ever did, and that's great. They thought it was a fad. They thought it was a trend. But Made in America matters, and yesterday I just met a nice new client. He invented this invention. I can't say a lot about the invention, but we hit it off. He's 93 years old. In his story, he had grown up on a farm. I like that right away. Then he went to college, and then he was drafted into World War II, and fought the Battle of the Bulge. And this guy, six manufacturing facilities, the last one he had lost overseas. But he wants this new project made in America. And to meet him, to hear his stories, what he's been through, 93 years old, still fired up. Larkin, you'd love him as an entrepreneur. But we've got a good shot at doing it here, and he wants it made in Western New York, but in America, number one.
That's great.
Just to have that energy at 93 still, just unbelievable.
And you must have had Santa Claus with you if he had Mrs. Claus with him, because the guy I saw at the convenience store in Green Cove Springs had a lady of the night from Bayonne, New Jersey with him. So.
Guys, I want to tell you something. It's been a great year, and Christmas time is certainly a great time for me to say a special thank you. Larkin, you've been unbelievable. Everybody enjoys your antics, and you're known, well known for your opinions. This way and that way, you always depend on Larkin having a word to say. And Mark, you're a great, great person to look at, because you took something that hurt you and made it to better you. Those people from China took away your business, and you outsmarted them. And look at the movement with the American Made in America store, the American made stuff. You have all these businesses focused under one roof. If you did it, a lot of other people can do it. And in 2017, I'm going to ask everyone in every way possible to support our goal, which is listed on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It's support the American made label. You'd be shocked, Mark, how many people contact me to let me know that they've tuned in recently. Some are transplants from other broadcasts. And my weekly commentary goes out to about 20 radio stations now. So at the very end of the commentary, it says, for more, tune into American Workers Radio or listen to us anytime at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. So we get a lot of new people. In fact, they love that Saturday music, which is great. Larkin, you're a Saturday music guy. He's a wild man. Larkin was at one time.
The only reason I take umbrage, or the only exception with that music, is that when I told my mother at age 7 that I wanted to learn to play the piano, she couldn't afford one. So she went out and got me accordion lessons.
Oh, so that's where it started.
And after the second accordion lesson, I was carrying that accordion home, and David Rowe and Franny Garofalo caught me on the corner and just whooped the hell out of me. I mean, they just knocked my socks off. And I went home with a black eye and a bloody lip and an accordion, said to my mom, I think I'm going to give up the keyboard.
Oh, but and Rich, everybody enjoys your opinions, and you know they often say this guy is unbelievable. I say, well, he was a writer, and writers do those things. They gather up all the information, put it on paper. So, in behalf of all those who contact me, who all those I meet in my travels. To all of you guys and Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, thank you so much. Christmas time is a very important time to say thank you for your efforts. Believe me, Mark, I can only imagine how hard you have been working this year, putting all the new stuff together, these new markets that you open. That doesn't just happen overnight. And so as we hope to see more of that, I have something I need to talk to you about. I'm going to ask that the people support you online right now. And listeners in your area, please stop by the Made in America store there and all of their little outlets at the malls and all, because Mark deserves your support. He's an example we can all point to and say he's helping to make Christmases better for all the people that supply his stores by them keeping their jobs.
Hear, hear.
That's what I like.
Thank you. And I'd like to say, my great team of people, they wouldn't work for free, but they've been crawling on the floors and working. It's the American attitude. It's all about the attitude, the enthusiasm. We make things happen. My team doesn't let me down, my family, and it's just great people doing great things. And I think, Mike, you mentioned I'm hearing more positive, and I see, people are seeing a little light at the end of the tunnel, a lot more hope. Talking to business people, they have more hope. And, Rich, you hit on it. If it would have went the other way, who knows? And no matter what party you're with, Trump has given people hope. It's inspiring no matter what, however you look at it. He was hated by everyone, never had a chance, underdog, and he pulls this off. And I'm seeing more positive hope and talk right now than I've seen in a long while.
And I lost just a touch of respect for Michelle Obama, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. When she made a comment in her Oprah Winfrey, she looks at the past 8 years, or Michelle says goodbye to the White House, or whatever it was. And she made a remark that really rubbed me the wrong way when she said that the country was now going to discover what it's like to operate without hope. And I thought that was classless and, just uncalled for. It just really was uncalled for.
It was. I didn't like it myself. And
Michael, can I add to that?
Yes.
Larkin, because it's, again, something else on my mind here, and it harkens back to that point. The real true colors of a man, of a woman, they really, if we think about this in sports, they really come out in defeat. The true, true colors. The window into the soul of a person, of a man, of a woman, comes out in defeat. And I just think a lot of these people who were Democrat, Hillary Clinton, no matter what people, and there are tens of millions of those people, there's some mirror looking and some soul searching that they need to do, Michael. And to think about the fact that their response to this election, which is beyond out of touch. It's not just out. If it were only out of touch, we might be able to work with it. Maybe. It's beyond that, though. And it's not just Democrats, right? I saw Mitch McConnell yesterday talking about how he didn't think Donald Trump had a chance to win. And I appreciated his candor, but this is one of the most powerful Republicans in the country who was totally out of touch with the pulse of the voters.
Well, he was worse than out of touch.
Right, to say if you'd said, I didn't think he'd win, okay. Again, he was honest, appreciate it, but to say, I didn't think there was any chance. And then I look at us, and Michael, I will tell you that there are people who told me that they changed their votes from listening to this show. So you tell me who's more in touch.
Well, as we said so many times, these people are pampered in Washington. I mean, if you saw the ideas that they throw upon me when I mentioned I'm urging you to help us support American made. Well, they've already left the country. I don't know how we could possibly get them back. All these old horses, these dogs, should already just go and be gone. Leave town and on the next dog pound truck or something, and let's get on with it.
So the other day, somebody told me that Canada, on the 19th of January, was going to have an open border day. So I've emailed like 700 people and said, listen, you need to get, you know, you need to get packed up and get up there.
Well, Whoopi and all these people said they were going to go. Maybe that's going to be their day to leave. Goodbye, good luck.
Yep. Open border day, the 19th of January. Pack up and head that way.
I mean, I think as of the new inauguration, we all have to look toward what is going to happen in 2017 and beyond. We can't look at the past. In fact, maybe it would be better if we didn't talk about the past, but let's direct 2017 as the time to give new ideas. And that's what I like about David Muir. And he was there on the fence for a while because there were people complaining. And if you noticed, I wasn't pushing our advertisers and all during the campaign season because I didn't want anybody to get tagged as being one side or the other. So now I have to go back and honor them, which I will do in a minute. But I have to say that everywhere I go, people say, let me tell you something. You guys are saying the truth. America first. Anything you can do to promote America, workers, flag, unity, anybody doesn't like America, there's a plane leaving to go out of America almost every minute of the day. Be on it as quickly
as
possible.
Michael, you know as well as I do. You guys all know as well as I do. We've been listening to that crap for years. While half of America is making plans to move to Canada, let me tell you something. Half of Canada is making plans to come to Florida. Okay? Just so you guys know. All right, so there's plenty of room up there.
They're like my kid in the summer. He escapes out of the house. I open it in the winter. He's not dumb enough to go out there, you know. Because it's pretty cold.
I watched that the other day.
I'm like, come on out now. I got to chase you.
I walk around. I feel like I'm in Paris. All the French Canadians are around me. You know, I'm like, where's the Mona Lisa? You know, so while half of America, so, you know, in defeat, it shows your, you know, gracious, I don't want to say losers, but those who don't win.
Lost.
If you want to talk about gracefulness, gracefulness is how you look on the way out. And President Obama could actually take, Larkin, a really good lesson from his predecessor, President George W. Bush, who, to my knowledge, never said a single thing even remotely close to what the president and his wife have said while President-elect Obama was coming in.
Till this day.
I had to get used to losing with the Buffalo Bills.
Do you remember, what was it, 2012, 2013, I'd have to check the date, when President Bush was asked in an interview, are you going to criticize the president? He said, no, the president's job is hard. I won't criticize the president.
Well, he hasn't said a negative word since he left office.
A single one. And Trump's not even there yet, and these guys can't help themselves.
One of the things that everybody, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, even those that didn't vote, they're telling me that Trump bringing all these people together to talk to them, to consider them for the cabinet, has shown them that it's important that the president be more vocal and more public to what's happening. Just going in to the White House and saying, well, I have all these other things going on. I have a cabinet meeting once or twice a week is not good enough. Today, the modern media has made it that the people want to know how their money's being spent, who is benefiting, and how will the American people who pay the taxes benefit in the long run.
So if I could just add one thing to that, Michael, before you go to the commercials. This is typical of this country, of our democracy, the Republic. So 5 months ago, they were writing obits for the Republican Party. They said we're in complete disarray, we have no leadership, and I've listened, quite frankly, echoed that we were a little absent of leadership. And they said that we'll never recover. We won't win the presidency again for years to come. And that for Hillary's second term, she'll take both the House and the Senate, and the Republicans will be irrelevant. I don't think that's the case. I think the Democratic Party right now is a hot mess, and they don't know which way to turn and what to do about it. They have very little leadership, and they are in the position that everybody predicted we would be in at this time this year.
Larkin, I know, and I agree with you that we need to remain objective, bipartisan. We need to be equal opportunity criticizers here, we're not going to be Donald Trump sycophants and say, oh, he can do no wrong, he's great, he's won, you know, all this crap that the left believes with their politicians. The fact of the matter is, right now in the Democratic Party, right now at 11:35 Eastern Time on 12/21, December 21st, the celebrities are the voices of reason in the Democrats.
They're gone.
They're off the rails. So the question has to be for voters. I'm not going to speak for me. I'm going to speak for the country as a whole. Because the country repudiated unequivocally the rejection of the growing and burgeoning collectivism that was happening. All countries in the history of the world, eventually at one time or another, have socialism come to them. Sometimes it sticks around. Sometimes the people fight against it. But it's always there. We've always dealt with this problem in our history, but it was never as overt now. And I'll just use the example of government. The government's never been bigger. We have a lot of examples, Larkin, we could go to. Let's just pick that one. So we're kind of going through our, like, we're finishing up our experiment with it. And guess what? It failed objectively, just like it's failed everywhere else. So right now, the party, the Democratic Party, people can tell me, well, Rich, you've got to work with them because they're democratically elected. Well, it's true they are democratically elected, but when I listen to them now, I think I just want the lunatics before the election. Like, they're taking it, they're taking the loonydom, my word I coined last week. I'm watching them take it to a new level. Now, there are some members within the party who get virtually no airtime because they're out there saying, Jeff Sessions will be a good attorney general. Give President-elect Trump a chance. They're saying that stuff, and they're now being shunned. So I just think that, again, I'm just offering this to our listeners, okay? I just think the Democratic Party, they're like totally off the rails. And the point about the Republicans, Larkin, and I made this point on the show, and I want to sort of stick to my guns here. The thing that I had said was that the Republican Party, as we had known it, was essentially going to be extinct. And one of two things would happen. They're either going to just exist in name only, or they're going to get a new opportunity, a second chance from the voters, and then it's going to be up to the party to rebrand and reshape their kind of politics, open the tent, open the umbrella, hopefully move a little bit away from the social issues. That's the party that thus far, it's early, but that's the party that thus far, I would say, for the most part, we've seen. So if the old guard Republican Party is extinct, as I do think it is, the new party needs to figure out quick where the bread is buttered, because those midterms are going to come quick.
That's correct. And listen, the Republicans do not have anything on a downhill slide right now. They have got a party that is somewhat segmented and egregiously have the right side of that party that just is way – the alt-right is frightening. It's frightening to me. And if they get a voice in this government, and they probably should get some of a voice, but, I mean, if they really start taking credit for the election, all the mad white men that Clinton claims elected Trump, if that really ends up being the leadership in this party, we got a problem. And we won't see the midterms. Well, our problems will start a heck of a lot sooner than that. So the Republicans have a lot of work to do, because they're not in the right place right now. They really aren't.
Well, the billionaires that are being appointed or suggested to be appointed don't need any money. They're not going to collect any money from the government for salaries or whatever. So let's see what people who don't have a need to gain anything will get in return of their being leaders in particular departments. Gentlemen, and all of you listeners, I have to take a moment just to acknowledge, as all of you know, we broadcast 7 days a week here on 860 AM, and we devote 2 days to special communities. One is Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. We're on Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and Sundays starting at 12:30 in the afternoon. But our Wednesday broadcast is American Workers Radio, and our Saturday 11 o'clock show is our variety program. Of course, we talk about American workers on that too and play all sorts of music. And I want to thank the people from our Wednesday broadcast that have become part of our Saturday broadcast as well. Our 7 day a week sponsors are many, but these are daily sponsors, and I want to say a special thank you to them, and also offer Merry Christmas wishes to you and yours from them. And they include Leon Munkowski, attorney at law, Mr. Chester Chanovsky, who is the proprietor of Serena's Auto Body Shop, Mr. Joseph Drobot, national president of the PRCUA, and Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices in Philadelphia, and Dr. Eva Machak, a great dentist, has those two offices, and she wishes all of you a very Merry Christmas. And best wishes as well from everyone from the Koharski family, from Polka Deli in Port Richmond, and from the people at the Polish American Travel Service on Allegheny. And also best wishes from Martin Bednarek, who's the president of Washington Savings Bank, and from Yolanda Konopacka, the Scipio attorney at law. And our friends at the Polish National Alliance and our daily supporters, Mr. Frank Spula, national president. They have places in all 50 states to help you no matter what you're looking for in the way of insurance needs. Remember the Polish National Alliance. Also, best wishes from our ongoing sponsors from the Polish and Slovak Federal Credit Union. I know that people are doing a lot of banking online. They do have local offices, but they do banking online across the USA. Check them out at psfcu.com. And of course, our supporters at the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue, welcome you to stop by 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And for more information about what's taking place at the Sugar House Casino, visit sugarhousecasino.com. And may I also say best wishes from all of us on American Workers Radio, Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, myself, and Henry Chaplinsky. Thank you, guys. You're very important. I also want to say a big thank you to the people that have been contacting me to let me know that holiday sales have been more American-made oriented than ever. My thanks to the people who've been telling me they're directing their dollars to support local businesses, Larkin, which I like very much. Make sure you go to the florists and the hoagie makers and the pizza makers and all the little stores, because they depend on you, especially at this time of year. Also, remember, when you buy an American-made product, you're supporting everybody, from the person manufacturing the products to the people receiving, stocking, store managers, the merchandisers, everybody in between, the accounting, the advertising people, they're all involved. So please do support your local stores. We really are depending on you. With that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mark to give us a report on how you're seeing the season this year.
Yeah, we call it the 30-day run for the retail side. It's from Thanksgiving to Christmas Eve. You know, there's 30 days this year. Last year there was 28. It's a leap year. It's funny, we watch all that because it's so important. Everything comes down to the last 30 days. And consumers can make that choice, buy American and wherever they are, and it's the biggest impact you can make a year by supporting locals, Mike, like you just said, or your smaller mom-and-pops. And, you know, again, being tied to the mom-and-pops and listening with the Made in America store, we are you're really non-political and listen to everybody. But, you know, we support the doers, the people that work for a living. And again, that positive attitude I'm hearing lately, you know, it's from your veterans you hear, but it's from your workers. It's from they're seeing a little hope. They want to trust the government again, and I think that's the number one mission, to get people to trust the government again, to trust Washington, to trust our officials, and get that respect back that we, you know, and so we can get the one company, one country, one goal. You know, and that's kind of to all do well and do our own thing. So, Mike, I'm seeing a lot this holiday season, a lot of people just stepping it up, a lot of great comments about Made in America. And we try to educate. All year we try to be consistent with our message, tried to educate people. They can't believe nothing is we can't sell one item that's not, you know, that doesn't plug in or takes a battery. They can't believe all 486 vendors are privately owned. Not one publicly traded company we can sell their product because they're a slave to the shareholder. There's so much to educate, raise awareness, and we're going to continue that as we get better and better and grow these store and stores and wholesale and just continue the mission. And our mission statement is to create and save jobs in the United States of America by increasing American manufacturing, period.
Mark, I couldn't have depended on you you better at this point. You said it perfectly. I have to say this in, as a response. I visit a lot of stores. I do it mainly to see what's going on. So I know that imported items are still overwhelming the stores. But as I talk to the managers and the salespeople, it's good news. People are saying that they're seeing more American-made products, more American-made labels on the shelves this year, and store managers are reporting that they are going after their merchandisers, telling them that the people are asking, where's the American-made stuff? I mean, when I walk into certain stores, which I go normally, some of the people like, oh, what is it now? What is he going to find fault with? Well, if I go to buy greeting cards, I don't want to find greeting cards printed in a country that doesn't even celebrate that particular holiday. I want to find American greeting cards. American greeting cards company, by the way, offers all their cards made in America. So look at the back of the card. It takes seconds to look at the card. Turn it over if you don't like what you see and just move forward to the next stack of cards. You will find American-made items.
Yeah, and Mike, the more money you keep in your country, the stronger you're going to be. And Larkin knows, and Rich, and you know, we're talking about decades to turn this around. Larkin talks about the supply chains. You know, even me and my engineer, you know, Ed had worked making the windshield wipers at Trico in Buffalo. We went through the whole history of Trico, and you know, you lose the die tool and die makers, you lose all this, and we've lost a lot. We've got to get them back, so this is going to take a long time. But you know, I always said if we couldn't convince them in the beginning, we confused them, right? So for 6 years, but now we're starting, people are looking over like, wow, what's going on there? And they're coming over and they realize a person, while everything's happening in Washington and while everybody's getting adjusted, you could make a difference with your dollar today, tonight. Every day you shop, you're an action plan when you spend your dollar on a Made in America product.
Beautifully said, Mark. Wow. And may I also take this opportunity to urge every listener and their families and their friends to bring up the subject when you're with family and friends on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Talk to them about American Workers Radio. Invite them to be part of the Buy American Made campaign. One of the sites that you'll find a lot of information on is AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and click on that link. Support the American Made label, which is our theme for the year 2017. We're going to do a lot of that type of posting. We're going to ask David Muir and people in all of the major media to turn away from all the negative news and start reporting on some of the positive stuff. Let's report on people like Mark. I'm sure there are other people like Mark that don't get any type of publicity. Why not hunt them out? Larkin, through SCORE, I'm sure you have four or five people that you can bring forward to highlight what they have done starting from scratch. We got to do something different in 2017.
So, Mark, have you ever met David Muir, or is he ever, has there ever been any contact there?
Yeah, we've been, you know, different. When we started, we were blessed to be, you know, on World News. I was four times. Once was Hometown Hero, just a small thing. And then later, Diane Sawyers had sent Sharon Alfonsi down. That was their bigger episode with World News. And then we were in touch with Eric Knoll, which was kind of helped produce. And, you know, in the beginning, Larkin, they called me and said, hey, do people really like this? Or what are they saying about your store? So it kind of gave them the jumpstart for that Made in America story. They were questioning my Daniel. We had Daniel on once, my nephew, Daniel Andel, was talking with Eric Knowles. And now there's you know, we've been in touch lately. Eric is from Syracuse, not too far from me, with Buffalo. And lately, you know, my social media guy has been in contact back and forth just trying to get, you know, they were, the show lately has been, what's the gift you give for Christmas? I've seen the pencils being made. I've seen the Lazy Boy. You had said L.L. Bean, Larkin was just on.
Yes, they were. Yeah,
you know, so pretty neat. So we've had contact. What we want to do is get them back out and say, hey, look at the, you know, the 486 vendors, many things here. So I think it'll come as we go, but I love it to get exposure because we hear about it. People remember when we were on like it was yesterday. TV, they don't forget as much. Radio, they might forget quicker, but it's neat. They have a lot of power, World News, and I love to see these smaller mom and pops and these smaller places that struggle. They need the work because I think as this grows, We're stressing out our vendors already with our store and store, with our wholesale. It's beautiful. Even my shirt guy, we got to work the weekend. It's beautiful because we're causing them to hire, causing them overtime, so the employees are benefiting. They're going to have to buy better automated equipment, and you know the whole process. But it's okay. It's a small start, but it's working.
So I was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania for an event, and had about an hour to burn and said something to somebody at the Marriott, and she suggested go catty corner to the Lancaster Farmers Market. She said it is the longest continuing farmers market in the country. Started in like 1775 or something. I don't remember the date, but it's
a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. And I went over there, and I was just overwhelmed with the number of small business people, aisle after aisle after aisle. Very professionally done, very vibrant, a lot of people in the aisles, a lot of stuff being bought. But I couldn't help but stand at the top of one of the aisles and think, the whole atmosphere of retail marketing in this country has taken a switch, or is in the midst of a switch, from bricks and mortar to obviously involvement in the internet. And my daughter has an Etsy page that she sells baked goods on, the Sweet Elephant. That's SWEET, a sweet elephant. And you know, she has 5 stars in everything she does. She holds a full-time job, but ships these cookie of the month all over the country, and for that matter, to the Philippines. And it just makes you feel good about people taking what they love to do, the passion that they have. She is a wonderful baker, and she loves it more than anything in the world, except her, my son, and her 2 children. It all strikes me in complete awe when I stand in a room like that and see all of these entrepreneurs. And I want to go to each one of them and give them a 5-page article to read that tells them exactly how you facilitate getting yourself on the internet, and you know, how you make your business grow, how you learn how to ship. And I don't know.
You know the 2 words I always tell, Mark, stay hungry and never quit.
Wow.
If I could just pass them, I mean, that's the 2 I say, and it fits everything. And you have to, because there's so many tough days and such a long year to make a dollar. And people, again, don't realize how hard it is to make a dollar. I was telling my 2 sons yesterday, it just payroll alone, take one out of 200 expenses. It's a tough, tough game, but entrepreneurs have a love for it, and it's beautiful to see. And I know, Larkin, you see that all the way in. That's how America was built. I mean, that's it. And we got to rebuild that and give them hope.
Yes, because the thing is, when people have been discouraged year after year by all this outsourcing, you know, it killed it. We have to think American made first for the next century, and then we'll get back to where we were a century ago.
In this trip to the Lancaster Farmers Market for an hour, the youngest company in the room was 1977. There were companies there. The one guy said, I said, do you make this candy? And he said, we've been doing it since 1840. And I said, excuse me, 1840 isn't a year in business. 1840 is military time. What are you talking about, 1840? And he said, I'm like the 7th generation.
Interesting. Now, here is a very good point, Larkin. Just as you were impressed by that, why can't some of the news media go out and highlight some of these people? Give ideas to other people who would like to give small business a stab. I think that we're not going to see the big assembly lines like we did in the past. We're going to see more smaller businesses working with more small businesses, just like Mark has going on. He's the design for it.
Yeah, Mike, if news was 50% positive news, it'd be incredible. And trying to move forward, because that's the hardest battle, is to move forward and, building these building blocks. But that's what they need. Entrepreneurs need hope. But, they never quit. You've said it many times, Larkin, and what you support is awesome. SCORE is awesome. I wish I would have known 30 years ago. Maybe they would have taught me too much, you know. So, but we just keep going forward, and that's the biggest thing. But you get traffic and you get people visiting, and hopefully we can make people shop local, buy and look at these mom-and-pop shops, what they're going for through and what the hours they put in, and hopefully giving a quality product to their customer.
I got a great piece of news for farmers. who haven't had a lot of good news of the last couple decades.
Yeah, they've taken a beating.
Yeah, they have. But I'll tell you, the farm-to-home movement or the farm-to-restaurant movement is big, and there are a lot of restaurants.
Huge.
And yeah, it is. It is enormous. I'm predicting in 2017, 2018, there will be a new movement of farm-to-home. And I think people are going to say that I don't necessarily need to buy my strawberries from Encino, California. I've got a farmer 10 miles away that's you know, growing really great strawberries, and he's not pouring a lot of chemicals on them. So I think there's going to be a great movement for farmers, and there's going to be a new demand for what they produce.
Yeah, and that's important. We build juice presses and apple presses for a company called Good Nature Products. And the mom and pops back probably 10 years ago, the E. coli bug had hit, and that hurt these mom and pop apple juice plants right at their house or their barn or their farm. And we had to develop pasteurization skids, which, you know, they basically heated apple juice to 160 degrees and held it for 8-10 seconds without changing the taste. But it cost the cost to get this equipment knocked a lot of the mom and pops out. But these this farm to restaurant, farm to home, Lark, and you're dead on, because that's what we see growing. You know, restaurants locally around us believe in the same mission, and I think it needs to happen, and I think it is happening.
Guys, I want to tell you, thank you for all that you've done this past year. I want everybody to know that these people are volunteers. They come on. They're part of our panel. There's no way I could replace them. And at this very special time of year, Christmas, I want to say thanks. Larkin Connolly. Cinque bardzo.
Yes.
Wesoły świąt. Merry Christmas.
A very happy holidays to you too, Michael and Rich and Mark and Henry and all of our listeners. Have a great holiday season. Enjoy your family. Love your country. And let's kick some butt in 2017.
Beautifully. Well said.
Well said, Larkin.
Mark,
Merry Christmas, all.
Thank you for
day.
Your help. And Rich, you're unbelievable. Thank you. Make sure you stay
my
that
pleasure,
way.
Michael.
Best wishes to all of you and your families. Henry, thank you for your unbelievableness, and please go out and support all of your local businesses. Mark, thank you for the great gift that you sent us, and we love you. We appreciate it. Give our best wishes to all of your family. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11 when I join you for the Variety program, I want to wish all of you a very, very Merry Christmas. Wesoły Świąt po polsku, Feliz Navidad, and best wishes. Have a great one.